workout. You ready? We can go ahead and start. We're ready to start.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready. Come on. We'll start here in a moment.
The Lord is our strength and our song. He has broken us free. The horses and riders are gone. They have drowned in.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this Shabbat. We're observing Hanukkah, and it'll end tomorrow night, but we want to welcome you this morning. My name is Anthony. This is Diane. We're going to lead you today in the service, and Diane will be leading us in the worship. And then we're going to have an abridged service this morning. Be a little different. We won't have the Torah service, but the actual drosh and the message will be at the end of the worship series that we're going to go through. So let's just open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the liturgy. And we just welcome you, those that are live streaming, those that are here today. Welcome you to enter into the Shabbat today to worship Yeshua. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Shabbat, Lord. And we just pray today, Lord, that you will be here in the house today, Lord, and we will feel your presence, and the words that go forth and the worship and the music, Lord, will touch those that are here and those that are live streaming. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first liturgy we're going to do this morning is the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan la'adorech ha-Yeshua Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Ma tovu. Yeah. Well, Chan, Shabbat Shalom. Just click on Shabbat Shalom.
All right.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shabbat. Israel or Sifkiba, Ora Mitukaha, Shabbat Mitukaha, Yom Say Israel or Sifkiba, Shabbat Mitukaha, Shabbat
Mitukaha.
This day for Israel, this day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with mighty joy. This day for Israel, filled with mighty joy. Filled with mighty joy. Sabbath of Israel. This day for Israel, filled with mighty joy. Sabbath of Israel. Sabbath of Israel. Okay.
Chan.
Ma Tovu.
The next on the schedule, Chan.
Mishtenateka Yisrael. Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel, and in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow,
there I will feel thy
holiness, O Lord. O Lord, I love the house where you dwell,
and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'do tambourine do'olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'do tambourine do'olam. B'nai, O B'nai, B'nai Israel, B'nai Israel, O he Elolam. Bishamru, B'nai Israel, Le'et ha-shabbat, La'sod et ha-shabbat, Le'do a tambourine do'olam. K'keshet amin, asa Adonai, asa Adonai, shemayim v'haaretz, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, yasod et ha-shabbat, le'do tamburin do olam. Yovam hashi, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash. Veshemru, v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat, le'do tamburin do olam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
And before you play Prayer for Jerusalem song, Anthony, do you want to pick someone to or pray for Jerusalem? Pray for Jerusalem?
Dear Lord, we come before your grace, your throne room this morning, Lord. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and in the courts with praise. And then we enter into your worship time to give you honor. Lord, we bow before you. We bring Israel before you today, Lord, with all the things that are going on in Israel. Lord, we just ask your protection over them. We ask your protection over Netanyahu, Lord, as he pushes forward, Lord, that you've appointed this man of God for your time. Lord, I just ask that you keep them safe, cover them in the precious blood of Yeshua. Lord, open their eyes of understanding, Lord, that they will receive your word into your heart and let it come alive. Let revelation come forth and let there be a revival break out through the land, Lord, as you're coming, you're drawing near, Lord, and your soon return will soon come. And Lord, I ask for all of the rabbis and the people that are attending the Shabbat services today in synagogues all over, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord, protect them, Lord, cover them, Lord, open their eyes of understanding, let your word come forth in power, and Lord, a fresh anointing and fresh bread of manna, Lord. We thank you today, Lord, and all the people today as we come near to a new year, Lord, 2020, Lord, that we will draw even closer to you and realize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Messiah, soon to return. Lord, those that are lost, Lord, we ask that you would open their eyes of understanding and that they will see you in a new way, a new vision, Lord. Forgive us our sins and help us to walk clean before you. And as we forgive others, Lord, we thank you today for all you've done and doing and about to do, Lord. Bless this service today. And Anthony, as he preaches today, the anointing come over him, Lord, and that we will receive. You said if two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us, Lord. So I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father. And I thank you for Diane leading the service. Bless her, anoint her, and Jan with the media back there. Lord, I thank you for all the people that are here today, God. Just bless them, Lord. Bless us today, and let us not leave this place as we came. Put a smile on our face, a song in our heart, and praise in our hands and feet. Stomping on Satan today.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Bless Miss Deborah. Thank you for that prayer. Go ahead and the song chant, Pray for Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Turn it up, please.
Pray for Jerusalem. Let there be peace again. Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. for Jerusalem. Let there be peace, not war, for God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem.
Servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Elvinu Malkenu.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto Leolam Vaed.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. You can be seated. And we have just a couple of announcements before we take up our offering. I'll give you time to prepare for that. We have a dance seminar tomorrow, which is Sunday, December the 29th. And it's featuring Ralph and Mindy Sita. and they are international messianic dance masters. They have quite a reputation, and from what I've heard is all good things about them. It's $10 is the registration, and we're recommending, or they are, that is for people that are 10 years and older to come. Couples are welcome, and I believe you're going to take a donation, maybe a love offering at the end of the dance, or is it just a...
I don't know.
I guess we'll see. I guess you have to see. But it's $10 for the dance training that they're going to be involved in. It's very biblical, and it's messianic, so it's right out of the scriptures to do that. And that is on Sunday, December the 29th, from 5 until 9 p.m.
It's tomorrow here. Just welcome. Yep. You're all welcome to come, men and women and children 10 and above. It'll be over here. You can come at about 4:30. It starts at 5 p.m. And I myself will be here. I'm Diane, in case you don't know who I am, those who are watching. And to just park here in the fellowship hall. There'll be some fruit there and refreshments and some water. And we'll just learn as much as we can from Mindy and enjoy dancing with her. And we'll just really welcome her. And it will just be a blessing here tomorrow at the fellowship hall.
Okay, so they're going to have a great time tomorrow. Okay, we're going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings, and we'll pray, and then you can bring your tithes and offerings this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Shabbat, Lord. We ask that you will bless the gifts that are being brought into your storehouse today, Lord. Bless the gift and bless the giver, Lord, today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Yeshua ti lechana el esha.
Okay, thank you. One thing I did forget to mention is our calendars. We still have a few of these left. I know it's we're getting ready to start the new year on the Gregorian calendar, but we do have the biblical calendars, and I believe they're $18. So I'm sure we can probably ship one to you if you want to contact the office, or you can send us a text or an email by the website, and we can get that to you. But now we're going to begin the part of the service of our worship in the music and dance. And so Diane's going to lead that, and we'll start that right now.
to the cities of Judah. Oh, Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. Oh, Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice and strength. Oh, Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. And lift up your voice in strength. Oh, lift up your voice, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, lift up your voice, be not ashamed. Behold your God, O Zion. O Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. Oh, Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice in strength. Oh, Zion, who brings good news, get up into the high mountains. Oh, Jerusalem, who brings good news, and lift up your voice in strength. Cities of Judah, lift up your voice, be not ashamed. Behold your God. For the grass withers and the flowers fade, the word of our God will stand forever. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God will stay.
Bye. O thee King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening.
Sing their praise to the Lord. must flee, the darkness must be from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness must flee, Yeshua is the light of the world. He came to the world, confounding the darkness. His word
thank you. That was a great song to end. The light that sort of goes along with what I'm going to speak about shortly is about light. And but right now we're going to observe the Shelkanah and I, the table of the Lord. If I can get Deborah, would you help me serve this morning? And we will give the folks at home or that are live streaming a chance to, if they want to partake, they can with us this morning. You know, we're called not to come unworthy, so we give you time to, if you need to pray and move and get anything between you and God removed. You know, that's one of the things that Yeshua said, if you have his light, there'll be no dark corners in your life. It'll all, his light will shine through you. I know if you turn a light on in a room, even though there's a light, sometimes there's maybe a dark corner there, and you're not sure maybe what's over in that corner. Maybe that's where dust collects or something, seems like. But he says if you have his light, there is no dark corners. So this morning, just take a few minutes, and if there's something you want to get off your chest with the Lord, just go ahead and do that right now. Because, you know, when we take this cup, it's not to be taken unworthy. You know what's so interesting? When Yeshua, he changed the Passover meal, the Seder meal, with the cup and the bread. And it was interesting because prior to that, it was always about Moses. But when he fulfilled the Passover, he became the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb. Interesting to note that when they ate that meal, he ate with a deceiver and a person that denied him. So it's very interesting, not even though those men saw the miracles that he did, they saw him walk on water, they saw him raise the dead, they saw him heal, they saw him make the lame walk, but still there was one that deceived him who ate of the bread, ate of the table, and there was also one that was the one that denied him multiple times. So it's interesting that at that particular time that happened at there. So this morning Deborah's going to come and help me, and we will bless the bread first. And Yeshua took the blood and he said, "Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz." Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament, which is the cup of the blood." And he blessed. He said, "Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, Melech haolam, borei pori hagafen." Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua is the true vine. So just prepare yourself as you come this morning, and we will serve you.
Since the fire within burned bright and strong, breathe on me, breathe on me like a gentle breeze. Lord, I ask you, please, and fill this weary soul. In your mercy, send.
Okay, we've got the drosh today, of course, is Miketz, and what I did, I sort of put everything together, or tried to anyway. I put the drosh and a little bit about Hanukkah, a little bit about Mary and Joseph, and a little bit about, forgot the other part, a little bit of something else, and I don't remember now what all it was. But today's Torah portion or drosh was Miketz, and it's in Genesis 41 through 44. You know, this year it's interesting. We'll be starting in a couple of days the new year, the Gregorian New Year, 2020 in Hebrew. It's 5780, and I was cleaning out my garage. I've got so much stuff I'm at the point I can't find anything. And I was going through a lot of the materials that I have. I got a lot of books and different things, but something fell out of the drawer. I have a file cabinet, and I actually got everything out of the file cabinet. And now I've got to go back and try to put it together. Boy, that's going to be a job. But something fell out, which was interesting. I don't know where it came from. Or where I got it, but it was most interesting. And it was titled Bartimaeus 2020 Vision. I'm thinking, wow, that's what this year coming up is, 2020. It just seems like God was saying this year coming up may be the year that we have greater vision. And that, you know, if you read the scripture about Bartimaeus, it said he cast his garment off. So maybe this is the year that a lot of us can cast things that the world has placed on us off. I thought it was just interesting that sort of fell out in front of me, and I was just shoveling stuff. I mean, I was whipping through it fast and furious, but that just fell out, and it just like, I just focused on it, so I put it in a safe place. So I'm going to go back and read the whole thing. I didn't spend time reading it, but it just seemed like God was saying, you know, this is the year of a vision of 2020, and that's interesting. Okay, Miketz. You know, it's okay to dream because according to the Torah, we are called to be dreamers. And, you know, this Torah portion of Miketz always appears around the time of Hanukkah. The two are connected. And I can tell you that Hanukkah is not the Jewish Christmas. That's not what Hanukkah is about. It's not about the Christmas tree. It is about giving gifts. I think that maybe Christmas sort of captured some of Hanukkah's things and put it into this holiday called Christmas that it grips the whole world. And I've seen a lot of things on TV this week, but Hanukkah is a different story. And it comes, you know, we've had a lot of teachings the last couple of weeks from the rabbi, and he's talked about, and I'm gonna get into that just a tad, but it's more, Hanukkah has more than just the Feast of Dedication. And it's not an appointed time with God. It's not a moed, but it's a time that Yeshua observed because it was it's about him. And so that's why he was there on that day to observe Hanukkah, because it said it was in the winter. So it tells us that when we observe Hanukkah, it's winter also. So we're on the same pipeline there. But God is the source of our dreams, you know, and it Creation resonates itself from dreams. Every dream, I think, is a prophecy. It's telling. God speaks to us through our dreams, and he tells us things. You know, and Joseph, who I am going to speak quite a bit about today, and the parallel that he has with Yeshua in his life, you know, he was a dreamer, and it got him into trouble, and sometimes with the family, but he sought in his dreams God's word. That's where he understood what the dreams were about, that it was God speaking to him and giving him the interpretation. You know, Joseph, he had the art of winnowing, and a lot of you probably don't know what that term is, but it's when you take this great big wooden pitchfork type thing, I guess it's more like a pitchfork, and they would separate the wheat from the chaff, and they would take that big scoop of wheat and they would toss it into the air, and it would separate the kernels of the grain from the chaff, and that's the part that's thrown away. And so Joseph had an art of understanding of winnowing the dream into what it really meant, separating it out. And you know, his brothers did not understand his dreams. They actually, when he would dream, they were fearful of his dreams. And when he actually was taken into captivity and was thrown into prison, and Pharaoh had dreams, and none of his sorcerers were able to interpret his dreams, it was Joseph who, one of the cupbearer, one of the people that was in prison, that Joseph dreamed about, and he prophesied to him that he would return to Pharaoh's side. And of course, it was years later that the guy who was redeemed from prison and went back to a position beside a Pharaoh, that was a very unbelievable position to be close to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh considered himself a god and the people worshiped him as a god. And finally the guy remembered, this guy in prison told me about a dream he had about me, and it came true. So he tells Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's confounded by the dreams, and he's unable to understand them, as Joseph is telling him. But Joseph was able to separate the message that he had because of the understanding that of what was going to happen in the land of Egypt. And so Pharaoh trusted Joseph, because you must understand, Joseph was a chosen vessel. Actually, before birth, before he was born of Rachel, he was chosen because God put his hand upon him and he blessed him, everything. And when he lived in Pharaoh's house, you know, Pharaoh's house was very blessed. In the land of Israel, the people, I'm talking about the people of Israel, were blessed, because when Joseph was placed in a position of authority, they were able to survive and live in the land of Egypt, because Joseph was second in command. And that's one of the parallels of the scriptures between Joseph and Yeshua, is the fact that Joseph was a savior to the people of Israel, because they were dying in the land of Canaan. And so they traveled when the brothers came to buy the grain, and then Joseph revealed himself to them. Then they went and got Jacob and brought him. I think through the years that Joseph was missing, I think Jacob may have had an inclination that Joseph was not deceased, because after all, the heritage was going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. And if he only had 11 sons, and he was very old in his age beyond raising children, not that God could not provide another son, but God had already provided the 12. So I think Jacob sort of knew that God, some way miraculously, that Joseph was still alive, and his sons had just deceived him. Because after all, if you read the previous Torah portions, you know that Jacob was a deceiver himself. He was able to get the blessing from his father Isaac over his brother Esau. And so he got the blessing. So he was very familiar with how you deceive someone, because he deceived his father and his sons deceived him. So it was very interesting that all that happened, that God used that deception to bring about the survival of the land of the people of Israel. You know, it's interesting, you know, when Rachel was the bride that Jacob wanted, and he had to labor, I believe it was 14 years, because he got married. He labored for her hand, and he was given Leah's hand instead. He thought he had married Rachel, and he had married Leah, so he had to work an additional 7 years, I believe it was, to get the hand of Leah. And she was like all the other matriarchs except Leah, and Leah was the one that was sort of not wanted. She was one that Laban was having trouble maybe getting her married off, and she's the one that God blessed with abundant children. The other matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, all struggled to bear children. And we see with the Torah portion that, you know, they were on their way to Bethlehem, and Rachel was pregnant with Benjamin, but she did not make it to Bethlehem. She bore the child on the way to Bethlehem, but they took her body to Bethlehem, and there she was buried. But Miriam and Joseph was different. She actually made it to Bethlehem, and she actually bore, and she actually gave birth to Yeshua. That was a miracle birth, because if you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, and where it talks about the pregnancy of a virgin girl, or in Hebrew actually it says she was righteous because she was more than just a virgin. She was a righteous young woman in the land, Jewish woman, because, and that meant that she was not only had never been with a man, but she was also very righteous in that she attended synagogue, she prayed to God, and she also was observed all the feasts and the moeds that were in the Torah. So she was more than just a virgin. There was probably thousands of virgins, but she was different in that she was a righteous young girl, and she bore the Messiah. And if you're familiar with Isaiah, when he penned that, the mem represents, it's always open because it represents water, and also represents the birthing channel. You ladies that's had children, you know that they call the expression your water breaks. That's the birthing channel that the baby's getting ready to be born. But when Isaiah wrote that, he closed the mem. It was a closed mem. So I believe Yeshua's birth was a little different than a normal child's, in that God did not breach her virginity when she bore the Messiah. That's why they said, well, Isaiah actually made a grammatical error, but really he didn't. It was a godly input there telling us that her womb was actually closed when Yeshua was born, that it was not open as we normally would think. But the real miracle, as we speak about Hanukkah today, you know, and we read a lot about John chapter 10. That's been talked quite a bit this past couple of weeks. In John chapter 10, verse 22, it tells Yeshua was walking in the temple. He was actually on Solomon's porch. You know, there's a deeper connection between Yeshua and Hanukkah just than the fact of we see that it's about dedication, and it's about a battle that was fought. And I was thinking, you know, I did a little bit of research about the Tanakh and why the book of the Maccabees is not in the Tanakh. I don't think I've heard anybody ever say, well, why is it not in there? It's actually in the Apocrypha. Have you say that word, Apocrypha? Apocrypha. I have a little trouble pronouncing that word. But it's not in there. Actually, about 90 BCE, the canonization of the Tanakh started in Israel. And, of course, they had to flee because of the invading forces. But it was associated with the Council of Gemini. And the many of the documents were not included in the Book of Maccabees. Was one that was eliminated from the canon of the Tanakh. And there was different theories as to why that happened. One was that it was not written in Hebrew, but then you have to look and say, okay, well, Daniel wasn't written in Hebrew either, but Daniel's in the Tanakh. The Book of Maccabees, I believe, was written after the canonization of the Tanakh, so it was not a part of that original. And the canon at that time had already been formalized and closed. And also, you have to remember about this time in history, there was a lot of political rivalry concerning the temple and the fact that the Levitical priests were no longer assuming that role. They were like selling that the Coeman's titles were being sold out to people, and there was a constant political turmoil between the Sadducees and the Pharisees concerning the temple and various things that were going on there. You know, but it's more than about, I think this time of the year is about the oil. Of course, we talk about the menorah and the fact that when they consecrated the oil, they only had enough for one day, and the oil, of course, was lit for 8 straight days, and we've got the candles out here this morning. Tomorrow, I believe, concludes the 8th day of Hanukkah, and of course, 8 in Hebrew means resurrection or new beginnings, and they're lit each night. It's interesting to note that menorah comes from the Hebrew word ner, which means flame, and that's part of the prayer that we pray over the candles as they're lit. We say the word ner, and it means the flame. Yeshua in John chapter 8, verse 12 says, he refers to himself as the light of the world. And he says, if you are filled with his light, and I said earlier, there are no dark corners in your life. Your whole life is exposed, and your whole life will radiate, just like Luke chapter 11, verse 36 tells us, that when you're filled with the light, your life will be illuminated. It's like a moth to a candle. You'll watch the moth, he'll circle the candle, and he's drawn to the light of the flame, and he eventually gets so close that he catches himself on fire. But it's truly amazing that they'll keep going to that light, and they'll get into the candle, into the flame. In Revelation 12, chapter 12, it says, they were overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. In Proverbs chapter 22, it tells us, it says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. The train, to train in Hebrew, it has the root word of Hanukkah, which leads us to the word of Hanukkah, which means to train. So they both come, train comes from the root word of Hanukkah. And so that's interesting that Hanukkah is telling us about to train. You know, Hanukkah, when they celebrated it that first time and the miracle of the oil occurred, they were not able to celebrate Sukkot. So actually the Hanukkah was an extension and included Sukkot in that first Hanukkah celebration. And at that time, they had gigantic menorahs like the one that they rebuilt in Israel. I got to see it. I forget how much it weighs. It's several tons. It's in a bulletproof dome-like thing, and they've moved it close to where they think the temple will be built. And it's quite an observance to see it because it's gigantic. And they had several of these, and they would light them so you could see Jerusalem from miles away as those big lights would illuminate the whole skies. You see, the Maccabees they laid everything down for what their beliefs were. You see, Antiochus Epiphanes was the shadow, as Rabbi Joseph has taught us, he was a shadow of the Antichrist that we see in Revelations and also in the book of Daniel that depicts what is going to happen. You see, he established himself as the Antichrist will do as a god, and he was the one that wants people to bow down to him. You see, Joseph was like the Maccabees. They were dreamers. They dreamed that they were able to get a group of people together and push out this army out of Jerusalem and take back the temple and take back the country of Israel from the invaders. So they were dreamers. And again, a dream is a source of prophecy. They want to take it back over. And as you dream, your dreams become your eyes, and you can see and sense things that are going on. You see, Joseph was spared by Pharaoh of being able to use the inspiration of God to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. He probably would have never been able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams had not God been the one that gave him what to say to Pharaoh. And it not only saved the land of Egypt, but it saved the Israelites that were living in exile in the land of Egypt. So right now I did this little parallel because I think Joseph is probably the most person in the scriptures that portrays Yeshua in so many areas. You know, and the first one I labeled was beloved. You know, Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children. He was the favorite child, and the other children knew that, and it was with that envy. And God's the same way. God says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And there was hatred. You know, when his brothers saw their father's love for Joseph more than them and the attention that Joseph got, he got the coat of many colors. That was a coat of authority. That was a coat of leadership. He was, even though he was considered a shepherd, he was still, the coat, I believe, had short sleeves, which meant it wasn't a coat that you work in. It was a coat that you rule and oversee in. And so we see his brothers hated him. And the same is with Yeshua. The chief priest had their envy toward Yeshua and the hatred. They hated him without a cause. They had no reason to hate Yeshua. But he was like, just like Joseph's brothers. They had no way, they had no reason to hate Joseph, but they did. And then the root, Joseph was a son of Jacob, but he was born in Jacob's old age. Jacob was getting along in years. And Yeshua, and it tells us that the Messiah shall grow up before us as a root out of dry ground. So he is the root of the olive tree. And also he would be a ruler. You know, Joseph told in his dreams, he told his brothers, "Your sheaves stood in the obedience to my sheaf." In other words, they bowed down to him. And the brothers did not like the thought or the concept of bowing to a brother who was actually younger than they were. I think about this time Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, was about 17 years old, somewhere in there. And with Yeshua, his word says, "You shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Yeshua will have all power, all dominion will be under his control, under his hand. And it says, you know, that's the new covenant. And it says that he will rule with a rod of iron, and the world will be under his dominion. And he was a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer, and he said one to another, "Behold," his brothers speaking here, they said, "Behold, we see the dreamer coming." Because when Jacob had called Joseph to come to him, he called him and he said, "Hinehi," which means, "I am here," but it also means, "I am here to do your will," if it means to be sacrificed. So Jacob was caught off guard a little bit, as the scripture tells us, if you dig into it, because he knew that he was sending him to meet his brothers, and he must have had a thought or an idea that maybe it wasn't going to go well when they got there, because he had to travel. And the brothers saw him and they said, "Behold, here the dreamer comes." And in Micah chapter 3, it tells us that Yeshua was beside of himself, meaning that Yeshua, I think, was a dreamer also. He dreamed that the world could be changed through his death and his resurrection. And so Joseph went into his brethren, and Yeshua says, "Lo, I come to do the will of God." He came unto his own. If you're familiar with the scriptures, his own received him not. He came to the house of Israel. That's the house that he came to. He didn't come to the Gentiles, but he came to the house of Israel. Rejection and condemnation. You know, Joseph, they conspired to slay him. The original plan was to kill him. And then they thought, "We'll put him in the pit, then we'll decide and we'll kill him." But they later decided to, after 3 days in the pit, they decided they sold him to a Midianite travel group that came by, and he was sold. And he was rejected, so they wanted to slay him. And the same was with Yeshua. They said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." And they cried out very loudly, "Crucify him, crucify him," because they rejected the Lamb of God that God had picked to be the sacrifice of the world. He was rejected and he was condemned. He was innocent like Joseph. Their clothing, you know, Joseph's brothers, they stripped the coat of many colors from him and they put blood on it and they took it back to their father. And we see with Yeshua, as he was dying on the tree, on the altar, we see the guards stripped him of his garments and they cast lots for his vesture, for the wrap that he had. You know how they would crucify you in the Roman era. It wasn't their most favorite way of killing someone. They really liked to beat you to death because the death sentence was 40 lashes, and these whips were made with pieces of sharp bone and various things that they would put in maybe some metal. So when they would beat you, it would tear into your flesh, and it would eventually kill you. That's why Yeshua was given only 39 lashes, because 40 was the death sentence. And I think Paul in his writings said he was given 39 save one. That would have been the death sentence. But when they crucified you, they always crucified you at an intersection of a throughfare, because they wanted people to see you as they went by and see you that the Romans ruled. They were very cruel. They were very, even in the battles, they were very vicious. They were fighting soldier types. They would not leave any enemies to come back later on. They were very thorough in what they did. But they would strip you completely nude, and it was a way to embarrass you and humiliate you, and they would crucify you. And a lot of people don't realize it, but women were crucified also. But they would crucify a woman, and they would crucify her facing the cross rather than in her back to the cross. She would be turned backwards as the crowd will walk by. But that was what happened to Yeshua as he was crucified on the tree. And you see in the pit, it says with Joseph, they cast him in the pit, and Yeshua, as he said, as it was in, talking about the days of Jonas, he said he was in the belly of the great fish. It wasn't a whale, because a whale is a mammal, and the scripture says it was a fish. I always catch people on that, and they say, well, it's a whale. And I'm like, well, a whale's a mammal. It's not a fish. It's a big thing, because I've seen them, and they're gigantic. But it was a big fish. And Yeshua said he would be, the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And I've yet to understand the mathematics of Easter, when it, in just about every church in the whole world will tell you he was crucified on Friday and he rose from the grave on Sunday. Well, the mathematics, and I'm not a mathematician, but I know from Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown would be one day, and from sundown on Saturday to sunup on Sunday is not 2 days. It's only part of a day. So somewhere they bypassed this scripture where Yeshua was very exact, because he says, as Jonas was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That's the feast of the feast of the unleavened bread, the Hag Matzah. That's the 3 days of the unleavened bread. That's the 3 days that Yeshua would have been in the tomb there in Jerusalem. So it does, the mathematics that I heard one preacher, he said he wasn't talking about days and nights. He was talking about the guard watches on the tower in Jerusalem, but that's not what the scripture says. It says 3 days and three nights. So it's a math problem. That should be some indication that something's not right, because his death and resurrection follows the three feasts that are tied to Passover, the first fruits, the unleavened bread, and of course Pesach. And so that's the purpose That's not Easter, that is Passover. And Joseph was sold just like Yeshua was. Scripture tells us he was sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and he was taken to Egypt. And so was Yeshua when he was born. They fled to Egypt. And then when God told him it was safe to come back, he said, I have brought my son back from Egypt. So it's another pattern of the exile as far as Joseph and the Israelites. At some point years later, after being in exile, they did return to the land of Israel. But Yeshua, the Sanhedrin, they bargained with Judas, and they came up with 30 pieces of silver. And it's most interesting to note that the purchase, when in the sacrifices, there's five types of sacrifices, excluding the paradumah, which is the sacrifice of the red heifer that's done outside the temple wall. All the other sacrifices were performed within the confines of the temple mount, within the confines of the temple. And they were the olah, which is the burnt offering, the shalim, which is the peace offering, the hatat, which is the sin offering, and there's the meal offering, and there's the asham. The asham is interesting because you have to pay a price for the sacrifice of the asham offering, which is the sacrifice of trespass. And that's what Yeshua said, we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. That's why the 30 pieces of silver was paid for the offering, because on what the Christians celebrated as Palm Sunday was actually the 10th of, I believe it's in Matthew's talking about, it was like, I think it says it's like 6 days or something before Passover, and it was the day before, which would have been the 9th of Nisan, and the 10th day is the day that you pick the lamb for Passover for the sacrifice, and the 10th day of Nisan is the day that Yeshua rode the donkey into Jerusalem. And a lot of people miss that. They call it Palm Sunday, but the reason it's called Palm, but it's actually when you pick the lamb, and that's when he was chosen, because he lived for several days after that 10th of Nisan, because according to the way the lamb is picked, you have 3 days to decide if that's the proper lamb that you're going to sacrifice. So that's why they received him as the Passover lamb, and for 3 days, I believe it was, they were able to examine him, and he was rejected, and he was sacrificed. And we see here that's what the asham of sacrifice is about. It's the 1/5 or 20% that is added to the sacrifice that is required for the asham. So that's why they had to pay Judas the 30 pieces of silver, was to fulfill the scripture in the Corban note, which says you will add 1/5 price to the sacrifice. So that is something that comes to light with Hanukkah, because sometimes we overlook that and we don't see that till maybe we get back to Passover. But you know, Joseph was lifted eventually out of that pit by the Ishmaelites, and Yeshua rose on the feast of Hag Bukurim. He rose on the third day out of the tomb. And we see he was a servant. Joseph went to Egypt, and he was a servant in Potiphar's house. And then he was cast into prison. And we see Yeshua, he says, I am coming to you as he that serves. And he took upon him the form of a servant. That's what threw the Jewish people off, because they expected the Son of God, the Messiah, to come as a king and change the whole world. They didn't realize from the scriptures he had to die first, and then later he would come back, because he said, my kingdom is not of this world. He's saying, my kingdom is not now this world. It's coming at a later date, but I must be the sacrifice in order for that to take place. So he came as a servant. He was falsely accused. You know, with Joseph, he was mocked and accused, because Potiphar says, this Hebrew servant has mocked me, because Potiphar's wife told a lie about Joseph, and that's why he got cast into prison. And Yeshua, he said, at last came the two false witnesses. The people who testified against Yeshua were false witnesses. They told lies in order to convict him in the court of the Sanhedrin. There was trespasses. The trespass, Joseph was put in a position that he was able to interpret the dreams between the two servants that worked in Pharaoh's house. I just mentioned that earlier, the baker actually, the cupbearer got to go back and serve beside of Pharaoh. And there's Joseph with the two people that were also cast into prison. And we see at Golgotha, we see Yeshua was crucified between two malefactors, one on the left and one on the right. So we see, again, Joseph and his life, what a parallel, what a shadow of Yeshua that was yet to come, deliverance. And Joseph told the cupbearer, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up out of prison and will restore you to his side. And that happened. Yeshua said to the prisoner, to the malefactor, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that was meaning after the 3 days that he was in the tomb, then the malefactor was going to be in paradise with him. And we see honor and glory. We see, and Joseph was set over all of Egypt. He was second in command only to Pharaoh. And we see Yeshua, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. Yeshua has a new name, and it's a name that's above every name, and he sits at the right hand of God. I don't have much more to go here, but I'll try to quickly go along. I won't keep you too long today. And, you know, we see with Joseph, they cried before him and bowed the knee. His brothers, when he showed himself to them, that he was dressed as an Egyptian, and you've seen some of the movies and the historical pictures, and he looked Egyptian, he talked Egyptian, but he said, I'm Joseph, your brother that you sold. And so he showed himself to his brothers, and there they did bow and do obedience to him. They bowed their knees to him. And Yeshua, when he returned, the scriptures tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. So again, another parallel. Just to end the parallel of Joseph, and he said unto his brethren, he says, I am Joseph, come unto me. And Yeshua says in the book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 11, he said, all Israel shall be saved and shall turn from their ungodliness. So in the end times, all of Israel, according to God, is going to be saved. And we can see, just to finalize this comparison of Joseph and Yeshua, Joseph was a shepherd and Yeshua was called the good shepherd. So they, again, you can see the comparison of how much, and that's why this Torah portion coincides with Hanukkah, is because of the fact that Joseph and Yeshua, their lives, well, actually Joseph's life is a shadow of what was to come when God's son came. So many of the things happen. But, you know, just to close it this morning, and, you know, I think I thought about Hanukkah and the battles and all that. I know Rabbi's been talking about, been teaching us about the end of times and what's going to happen. And I think I just sort of jotted this down, that the battle is really, it's a battle of lights. And I think a lot of people are looking for that final apocalypse war there have been movies made about it. And I think a lot of people are looking for that apocalyptic war. I got that word again, apocalyptic war that's coming, the apocalypse. But I think the final battle is not going to be fought on the battlefield. I don't think it's going to be fought in the sea, and I don't think it's going to be fought in the skies above us, and I don't think it's going to be fought with leaders and nations. But I think the final war is going to be fought in our hearts, each of us today. I think the final war is going to be in our hearts, and it's the decision that we all, everyone, has to make in their lives. And that's why it's important. I think that's why the battle is in our hearts, is because that's where life and death are made, is in that battle between goodness and darkness, between what's right between what's wrong. And you know, if you, and just with Hanukkah, I know a lot of times we talk about John 10:22, but if you read down further, there's Yeshua was at that time that he had actually let everyone know that he was the Messiah, because when you have, he says, when you have seen me, then you have seen my Father, which is God, for he and I are one. And he also says in verse 28, he gives us three promises that to me is the capstone of Hanukkah, this time of the year. He says, I will give you eternal life. And he said this at Hanukkah. I will give you, it's a promise from him. And they all, God and Yeshua always fulfills the promises. He says, I will give you eternal life. He also says, you will never perish. You will never perish. And he says, the third thing that he promises us, he says, no one, that means Satan and anyone else, he says, no one will ever, excuse me, no one will ever snatch you from my hand. Once, it's just like Moses when he wanted to see God, God put his hand over him and he pushed him into the cleft of the rock. And so that's what Yeshua is saying here. Once I have you in my hand, no one will ever snatch you out of my hand. It's just like you in the cleft of the rock, and he's going to hold you there for all eternity. And so that's why I think the final battle is the battle of the light. It's the light of Yeshua. Like he said, if you will let my light shine in you, there will be no dark corners in your life, and the light will go out. Just the light of the menorah, the way they constructed the temple in the menorah, the light of the menorah went out through a narrow window out, and it exposed the whole area. And so that's the light of Yeshua. That's what the final war is about, is life or death in him. It's life with Yeshua. If you accept him into your life as your Messiah, and he writes your name in the book of life, and he puts his blood upon you, then his light is in you. If the blood is not there on judgment day, then you will be sentenced to the second death, which is eternal damnation in hell. You'll live eternally somewhere. It's either in heaven or it's either in hell. So the final war is of Hanukkah, I think, is going to be about the miracle of the light, and that is the light of Yeshua, because he himself said, I am the light of the world. So that's the message today. And next week we will have Pastor David Durham from Blue Ridge Mountain Church will be here. And anytime he comes, we always have a great message from him. He's a very anointed, and I don't want to use the word talented, but I'm going to use the word anointed. He's a very anointed young man, and he's been here several times, and he observed Sukkot with us a couple of years ago. So we welcome him back next week, and we will take up a love offering, just so you'll keep that in mind. If you can put back a little bit of some money for him next week, that will be appreciated. I know his family will appreciate it. But if you will, that's the message for today. And tomorrow night we'll light the final candle, and then the flames will go out, but we can still have the light of Yeshua. That's what it's about. That's the final battle, is the light of Yeshua. It's redemption, salvation. That's why he promised the eternal life. So if you will rise, and don't forget the Hanukkah dance seminar tomorrow, from 5 until 9, right here at Area Yehuda, you're on New Hampshire Avenue. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, this is how you instruct Aaron to bless my people when they come before me. Ivakar Adonai Vayishmareka Yo'adonai Panaveleka Vikunika Isa Adonai Panaveleka Vayasimleka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. God bless you today. Have a great day.
The scene was set back when a group of fearless men stood up for their beliefs and risked their lives. They acted with one voice and firmly made a choice, this nation being sure that it survived. Their prayers were answered each day, their minds fixed on their dreams.